Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we continue sharing listener favorites with part two of Larry Stamm and Dr. Kenneth Hill's conversation on how to live out loud in sharing your faith. Today is the day. It's Giving Tuesday. You know about Black Friday and you've heard of Cyber Monday, but have you heard of Giving Tuesday? It's a global day of giving, and it's a great opportunity to make an eternal difference in our world by donating to the ministries you care about. Giving Tuesday is right now. It's today. Would you consider financially partnering with us to continue God's work here at Southwest Radio Ministries? Learn more at swrc.com or by calling 1-800-652-1144. One day, one gift, it can make an eternal difference. Thank you for supporting Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Ministries during Giving Tuesday. Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill comes now to welcome Larry Stamm back to Watchmen on the Wall.
God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. That's what has been the watchword for the Watchman on the Wall broadcast for these many years that it's been on the air. I haven't been on this broadcast all those years. I've only been on them about 40 years, but that's a little bit part of it anyway. My name is Kenneth Hill, and I'm the president of Southwest Radio Church Ministries. I am absolutely blessed to be able to be with you today and to have a dear friend seated next to me, and we're going to be talking again today about his brand new book, Live Out Loud, Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul. And of course, I'm speaking of my brother Larry Stamm. Larry, welcome.
Kenneth, it's again a blessing to be with you and your audience.
Well, it's a blessing for me to know that we have another book from your pen. It's always good to see what you've written lately, because what you have to say is important. It's always helping us be better at living our lives for Christ, and I appreciate that. I really do. You're a special person. And we love you in the Lord, brother. You are special to us. I want to talk a little bit about something that you've included in this book. You have in this book, you have three parts. Number one is growing gospel understanding. Part two is expressing gospel truth. And part three is overcoming gospel opposition. Now, I'm not going to make you give us everything that you've got written, but I just want to talk to you a little bit about this, because I've been on the trail a while, and a little longer than you have. And what I have found is that in this day and age, it is oftentimes more difficult for me to express the truth of the gospel to someone than it was even 10 years ago. I'm not saying it's impossible or anything, but it's just a little bit more difficult. There are a number of opposing forces that seem to try to keep us from letting folks know the truth. Have you found that to be so?
I have. It's true culturally, and it can be true personally for people. I met a pastor, Kenneth, just a couple of years ago. I was at a pastor's network breakfast, and I had a pastor share with me that he was fired from a job because of his witness for Jesus Christ. He was a bivocational pastor. He was telling people in his workplace about Jesus Christ. His employer said, "You can't do that." He said, "I will do that." They said, "See ya. You're fired." And this was right here in the Tri-Cities, Tennessee area. We are in the Bible Belt. This is persecution, and it was real, and I heard it from a gentleman who was in the marketplace. He was in the workplace. He was bivocational. In the last 50-plus years, persecution has increased against the Christian and the Christian church in America. In 1962 and 63, your listeners may remember that the Bible and prayer was taken out of public schools. And since that time, look what has happened in our country. We have an attack on the Bible, an attack on prayer, an attack on the family. Roe v. Wade in 73, and thank God it was recently overturned. But there has been an attack on the things of God, including our Christian witness. I've got a couple of quotes from some influential believers I wanted to share to kind of set the stage for talking about this book, Live Out Loud, Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul. One quote from a pastor out of the Charlotte, North Carolina area named James Emery White. I would commend your audience to his blog called Church and Culture. It's a daily blog. Anybody can access it online. But in one of his blogs, he writes this. He writes about persecution increasing in America. James Emery White writes, compared to the violence against Christians in many places around the world, the answer is that Christians in America are experiencing nothing compared to the persecution of Christians in places such as Nigeria, Iran, Pakistan, Egypt, or Syria. But then he writes, what is happening in America is an increasing hostility and intolerance toward Christian beliefs and values that many perceive to be an attack on religious freedom. And then he continues, in current American culture, you are free to be a Christian as long as you don't actually live out your faith, vote your faith, take a stand in relation to your faith, proclaim your faith, or believe others should actually embrace your faith. And persecution at its core is all about silencing our voice and diminishing our influence. And while we may not go to jail, in America, we are silenced and persecuted in a variety of other ways. Christians experience lawsuits. Christians, as I mentioned, get fired from jobs. We get ghosted. We get slammed. We get attacked in a variety of ways. That's one quote I wanted to share. Another quote is from a USA Today article actually written by a gentleman named Jonah Goldberg. This is from an article a few years ago, and he writes, a real concern is the growing insistence that faith be private has now become a demand for faith to be compromised. And then he continues, he writes, it's not enough that your beliefs can't influence society. You must also embrace society's beliefs. And then Goldberg continues and he writes, if you're not with us, you're against us mentality. And that's what we're finding today. If you're not with the standard narrative, you are persona non grata. You are not welcome at the table, culturally speaking. And this is what's happening to the Christian. It was only decades ago. The Bible was revered and respected. Pastors were respected even by unbelievers. Unbelievers respected the name of Jesus and the Bible to a degree. Today, it's the complete opposite. People are mocking the faith. They're making fun of the faith. They're persecuting us. They want us to live in the halls of our church. But when we come out and we live out loud and we are bold and courageous and proclaim the gospel and have the audacity and biblical courage to tell people, all of us are in trouble without Jesus, that He is the only way to God. There's a heaven and hell, and Jesus is the way, and we all have a choice. That's not a popular message and becoming more and more attacked as we go along in our cultural course, if you will.
Well, I found that to be true. In fact, I can remember when I was first pastoring, I would have people know that I was a pastor or that they thought I was somehow religious of some sort, you know, and they would stop what they were talking about because it was something that wasn't a good subject, or they would not use language that they normally used because it was four-letter words or whatever. Now that's no longer done. They know I'm a pastor or I'm a minister of the gospel, and yet they still talk in a bawdy way, or they say things that shouldn't be repeated in polite company. They have this desire, it seems, to make sure that they express themselves so that I might not have the opportunity to express myself. And I found that to be true, quite honestly, in many of the places that I go. And it makes it difficult. But we're supposed to live out loud. How can we do that when we have the opposition? Now, that's one of the things that you talk about in your book. That's the book we're talking about today, Live Out Loud, Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul. How does Paul lead us into being able to meet the opposition?
If your listeners remember, when the Apostle Paul was saved, when he was converted, immediately he goes to the Jewish religious leadership and he's telling Jews in the synagogue, hey, Jesus is the promised Messiah. And some of them are saying and thinking, isn't this the dude that was killing Christians before? Remember Stephen? What's happened to him? Has he been brainwashed? What happened? And it didn't take very long for them to understand this man, Paul, was changed. He was born again. In fact, Paul wrote of himself, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. This man actually had Christians murdered on his watch, and now he is confounding people with the gospel witness. Their response? Well, they tried to kill him. And then he's going, and then once the church begins to grow in Paul's mission, again, he was God's choice vessel to go to the Gentiles. He was a Roman citizen. So Paul was a man of the world. He was not only a Pharisee of Pharisees, but he was also a man of the world and could reach out to pagans and philosophers as he does in Mars Hill in the book of Acts chapter 17. But Paul received opposition wherever he went. Stark opposition. Opposition to where he was jailed, he experienced physical abuse, he experienced threats on his life. Ultimately, he's martyred. And what does Paul do? He presses on and he presses in. He continues to fight the good fight of faith. And one of the ways he did it, and one of the ways that we can do it, is to understand our spiritual resources. In the third part of the book is divided into three parts, as you mentioned. There are 36 devotionals. They all are about 1,000 words, give or take. This is meat. These are devotionals about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. In the first part of the book, part one is all about growing gospel understanding. Part two, expressing gospel truth. The first devotional in part three of Overcoming Gospel Opposition is entitled Warfare and Witnessing. One well-known Bible teacher once quipped, when you declare allegiance to heaven, you declare war on hell, and hell fights back pretty hard. Remember, Christian, you and I are in a spiritual battle. Life is not a playground. Living life on this earth is a battleground. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against those spiritual forces of darkness that would seek to diminish us, that would seek to destroy our witness, would seek to keep us silent and invisible. But God has given us spiritual resources. And what I do is I lay out some of those spiritual resources. For example, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul will talk about the full armor of God that we are to put on. And at the end of Ephesians 6, where Paul is talking about spiritual warfare and the armor of God, it's interesting that he will point out now at the very end an application, and the application is directed to Christian witness. In the end of Ephesians 6, in verses 19 and 20, Paul will say to the Ephesian church, he will implore them, pray for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I should. So prayer is the first weapon that we have at our handy. We must access prayer. Remember Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. But Paul wrote in Philippians 4, through Christ, we can do all things, but we need to lay everything up in prayer. And evangelism should begin on our knees. If we prayed as much as we did, our doing would be much more effective. Can I get an amen for that?
You certainly can. Amen. I'll tell you, if we would pray as much as we talk about things, we would have a greater success.
To be sure. So the foundation of our Christian life really should be prayer. We need to be communing with the Father, and we need to go to God on behalf of people before we go to people on behalf of God. Next in our weapons of our warfare, if your listeners remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul wrote, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." What weapons of our warfare are we talking about? We mentioned prayer. Now we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. God, the Spirit, dwelling within us. He empowers us. He gives us the words to say. He does the work of conviction. He does the work of illumination in the lost sinner. He does the work of regeneration. So we have the Spirit. Then we have the gospel message. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We have the message. All we are called to do as Christians is simply deliver the message. I am not responsible for how a person or person responds. I am only responsible to deliver the message. What someone does with that message is between them and God. And though much of our evangelistic activity, the response to it may be on the surface rejection, it's okay. We simply need to share the message and give people the opportunity to respond to the message. So we have the prayer, we have the Spirit, we have the gospel, we have the Word of God, and we need to use all of those tools at our handy. And when God opens up an opportunity for us, we need to be ready with a word or words aptly spoken. And as we've mentioned, we all can pray, we all can love on people. The talking part, which can be a stumbling block for many, as we mentioned, if we have the will to, God will show us and empower us with the how-to. So the weapons of our warfare are critical, but we need to be connected to the Lord. It starts on our knees. It starts in prayer. And Lord, give me peace. Give me your words. Empower me with boldness and courage. Those are prayers we can pray in Jesus' name. Those are the prayers God will say yes and amen to.
If God is for us, who can be against us in reality? And what does it matter who's against us? Because the weapons that are formed against us fail because God is all-powerful. And when He's called us to do something, when He's called us to missions, when He's called us to evangelism, when He's called us to sharing the gospel, then we won't fail. Now, as you said, the presentation is the part we work on, making sure that we're presenting the truth the proper way. But it doesn't matter if people say yes or no to the question of, do you receive Christ as your Savior? Have you placed your faith in Him? If they say no, that's not a rejection of me. That's a rejection of God. Then you try to help them understand what that means. And you try to help them understand how they can change. And you try to understand yourself how better to reach them.
Amen to that. I was a missionary in New York City to my Jewish people for 6.5 years in the 2000s. Sometimes people ask me what it was like to be a missionary to my Jewish people in New York City, Kenneth, and sometimes I would quip, well, you might say that I was in the rejection management business. And I say that jokingly, but the reality is most people that I spoke with rejected the message. And like you rightly said just a moment ago, they weren't rejecting Larry, they were rejecting Jesus and the message. The messenger is secondary. I've had people on the street over the years in various places around the world look at me and go, you're a loser. It's like, hey, I may be a loser, but this is not about me. This is about Jesus. Who do you think he is? This has nothing to do with me. You're not Jewish. I said, whether I'm Jewish or not is not the issue. The issue is, who is Jesus? It always has to go back into the Jesus funnel. We need to remember, it's not about the no today, it's about the yes tomorrow. And I would encourage your listeners, for people in their sphere whom you're trying to witness to, who are hardened to the gospel, listen, I have them in my own sphere of influence, family, friends, who categorically reject Jesus. I maintain those relational bridges. Keep the relational bridges open. A no today doesn't necessarily mean a no tomorrow. Missiologists tell us that a human being typically needs to hear the gospel seven times, seven clear gospel presentations before a person typically comes to faith. I know in my own experience, your listeners can think about their own, those who are listening who know Christ. The first time you heard the gospel, what was your response? My response was absolutely not. No. And people kept coming. The Spirit kept moving. How about your own experience? But ultimately, over the course of years, when we think about evangelism, I like to talk about and teach that evangelism is processional. It is not presentational, although we do share presentations, i.e. the four spiritual laws or Romans Road, and we have moments where we share the gospel, but typically our gospel ministry should be processional. We take the long game. Listen, Paul heard the gospel. I mean, he heard it from the mouth of Stephen himself in the book of Acts. And what was Paul's response? Sick 'em, boys. He was martyred. Paul rejected the gospel. I rejected the gospel for years. And there may be people in your life that you've been trying to share Jesus with, and you feel discouraged. I want to encourage you, friend. Don't feel discouraged. Continue to pray for them. Love them. Pray that God would bring a cloud of witnesses across their path. And keep playing the long game, if you will, because evangelism is a process, and all of us are in process. And I would point people to Matthew 13, and Jesus will speak about the evangelistic process with the parable of the soils in Matthew 13. It's a really good lesson, and I talk about it in the book.
We're talking with our dear friend Larry Stamm, and the book is Live Out Loud: Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul. And I want to just mention that I had one of those encounters with someone that had been witness to for nearly 70 years. And he had rejected and rejected and rejected. But there was a cousin of his that would come and visit him on a somewhat regular basis, and would witness to him every time he came. At almost 70 years old, this gentleman came to faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It took prayer. It took many people coming and presenting the truth, but God brought this person to faith. He was saved, and when he died, he was witnessing to everybody around him, and he wanted them to come to faith in Christ as he had, and it was amazing. We all rejoiced, those of us who had been praying for him, and that wasn't the only one. There are many that I've had contact with and witnessed to over the years, and sometimes it's taken decades, and yet they've come to faith in Christ.
Amen. It's a beautiful story. I can remember there was a Jewish man in New York I was witnessing to, and he said, Larry, I don't believe in the resurrection. He said, I'm good with God, and I can believe Jesus is the Messiah, but I don't believe in the resurrection. And so we began going back and forth, studying the Bible, and I sending him articles. 18 months, Kenneth. And finally, I get a call one day, and he said, hey, I believe the resurrection. I've just put my trust in Jesus as Messiah and Lord. I'm going to get baptized. And it was the long game, and it was an example of, hey, it just takes time. And again, the parable of the soils in Matthew 13 is a really good lesson on the long game and the fact that evangelism is, in fact, processional.
Indeed. Larry Stamm's latest book, Live Out Loud, Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul, is available from Southwest Radio Church, and you can get it by calling 1-800-652-1144, or you can go online at swrc.com, and you can find out all about how to get this book and other books by Larry Stamm.
Kenneth, it's been such a blessing to be with you and your audience. If people want to know more about our ministry, they can go to larrystamm.org, larrystamm.org, or check our Facebook page out at Larry Stamm Ministries Facebook page. And again, thank you for having me. It's been a blessing to be with you and your audience.
Indeed, it's been a blessing to be with you, my friend. Once again, it's the book, Live Out Loud, Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul, by Larry Stamm, and it's available from Southwest Radio Church Ministries, swrc.com. My friend, thank you for joining us today. May God richly bless you as you serve Him.
In America today, you are free to be a believer as long as you don't actually live out, you know, take a stand in relation to or tell others about your faith. While a growing number in our nation call Christians to live in silence, God calls us to live out loud. As Jesus declared, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." In his faith-enriching devotional-style book, Live Out Loud, Witnessing Wisdom from the Apostle Paul, Larry Stamm seeks to encourage Christians to be faithful and bold. Stamm draws from the Pauline epistles and the book of Acts to highlight the life, ministry, and teaching of the Apostle Paul, the missionary titan for Jesus. Be instructed, inspired, and compelled to live out loud. Let Jesus be exalted, the gospel amplified, and people converted. Order your copy of the new book, Live Out Loud, today. Call 1-800-652-1144 or order when you visit swrc.com. Live Out Loud by Larry Stamm. 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, best-selling author Jonathan Kahn will discuss his brand new book and DVD, The Avatar. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.